So the efforts for a massive reinforcement never came about. On the other hand, from 1101 on, there were lesser pilgrimages, crusades, if you will, settlers who came to the Levant seeking their fortune, responding to various opportunities to settle in these regions. And it's not a massive colonization. Many of these were members of lesser nobility. I'll talk about them as we look at the economic development of Outremer. And so there was always, through the 12th century, a steady movement of Western Europeans into the Crusader states, which increased the numbers and eventually created a military caste that was fairly sizable. Perhaps the best estimate is that in, say, 1140, there may have been as many as 150,000 Western Europeans of different background, Franks, Italians, and others, who were in the four Crusader states. However, they ruled a native population of at least 3 million or more. That native population may have had a slight majority of Christians. There were numerous Muslims. There were also significant numbers of Jews. In that native Christian population, the Armenians had a tradition of warfare, but most of the Christians had not. They had been long since disarmed. And, of course, the Crusaders were not about to arm their Muslim subjects. So from the start, manpower was limited. In 1100, it was even far more desperate. When Baldwin I came into Jerusalem, he claimed he had only 3,000 men to defend the entire kingdom. So with these limitations in mind, the failure to bring in immediate massive reinforcements, the great distances, the problems of communication, the arid conditions under which these armies had to wage war, the unfamiliar conditions, the large native populations were of limited military value to the Western Europeans. It's extraordinary that these states survived. Now, that gets us to the second point of this lecture, and that is the Northern Frankists, or to be more accurate, the Normans and the Northern Franks, that is, the states of Antioch and Edessa. Why didn't these states take on the role as the primary Western Crusader states? Well, in part, it was a result of Bohemond himself. Bohemond was a brilliant commander, without a doubt, He was responsible for the victories of the First Crusade, with the exception of Jerusalem. He was not there. But it's almost inconceivable that they could have succeeded without him. On the other hand, Bohemond was restless by nature. The Byzantines always attributed some type of sinister motive to all of his actions. And his ambitions knew no bounds. And the result is that Bohemond was not the sort of man you wanted in control of establishing an effective kingdom. As I mentioned earlier, in the summer of 1100, he managed to get himself captured by the Turks. And it's remarkable how many people were willing to pay his ransom. Nothing to do with his popularity or his winning ways. I mean, Alexis I was willing to pay any price to get a hold of him. Eventually, Bohemond was released in 1103 when part of the ransom was paid. That actually put the state of Antioch, the principality in Antioch, in quite a crisis. It turned out to be actually to the advantage of Antioch in the short term. With Bohemond languishing in a Turkish prison, and he was moved about several times in Asia Minor, his nephew Tancred was summoned to take over. Tancred had actually gone on with the First Crusade to Jerusalem and was there to receive what was known as the Lordship of the Galilee. He was the leading vassal of, at that time, the King of Jerusalem, Baldwin I. He was probably the most powerful figure in the southern kingdom and had aspirations to be king himself. And when this opportunity came, he immediately made a direct line to Antioch and took over. Tancred turned out to be the kind of organizer you needed. He extended the territory of Antioch. He capitalized on the value of the city as a pilgrimage shrine, its commercial possibilities. He had a large Greek and Armenian and Jacobite Christian population that could be taxed and also could be used in part for military support. He made alliances with the Armenians in Cilicia. And effectively, he ran the state of Antioch down to 1112 when he died. He was not particularly eager to ransom his uncle and was pretty lax about collecting the tribute, which is a problem whenever you're a medieval monarch. If you get captured, your ransom is often in the hands of your dear relatives. King Richard I will face this problem as well.